Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The week-long wait is finally over. The World Series starts tonight. Good morning and welcome, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We're with you until 2 today, live from Houston, out and about and on the road, brought to you today by the Washington, D.C. BMW Center. You can lease a 320i xDrive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. Visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. Danny, we did it. We flew out to Houston. We arrived safely last night. We are ready for the World Series.
Got a brief tour of the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. Nothing special to report there. A lot of Cowpukes jerseys and a lot of obese people. Now we are here in Houston, and we're at the Houston studios. Entercom is a nice little building, nice little facility. They welcomed us with open arms, put us in a studio, and said, good luck, enjoy your program. But we are here. We'll be at the game tonight, doing some pregame this evening, but a lot to break down with regards to the Nationals. Keep in mind, they're in the World Series.
Yeah, 6 to 7:30 tonight, and in fact, 6 to 7:30 each game day throughout the World Series. Every single first pitch scheduled for 8 o'clock local time in D.C. So from 6 to 7:30, you will hear us ahead of Charlie and Dave on each game day. But more importantly, here on Grant and Danny today, speaking of Dave Jagler, he'll be with us at 11 a.m. Looking forward to catching up with him in an hour. And Joe Girardi, the former manager of the Yankees and the Marlins, who's won a World Series as a skipper, is going to stop by for his second appearance of the postseason to talk Nats baseball with us at 1 o'clock today. That'll be must-listen. He was marvelous when we had him on the show to start the division series. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Joe Girardi when he stops by at 1 o'clock. But here's where we got to start. Look, I got to tell people, Danny, people in Houston are on fire about the Astros. I don't know what I expected. Look, the World Series is in your town. It makes a lot of sense. We remember this from when the Caps were in the Cup. Everybody's jacked up, and I understand that. But it is interesting to me. They won the World Series 2 years ago. They were in the League Championship Series, and they were supposed to have gotten to the World Series last year. And they probably are going to get to another one or two in the next few years. They are built sustainably. This is a budding dynasty. But there is an urgency to the fans, every Uber driver, every taxi that we've been in so far since we got here. So we're checking into the hotel last night. We're in the elevator today coming upstairs, and someone's asking us, where's your orange? The Astros are playing tonight. The whole town really buys in on this team. It's cool to see.
It is neat, and it's different than what Vegas was. And you mentioned it for a lot of reasons, because we were there, obviously, for the Stanley Cup Finals. And that was a release for the Vegas citizenry, right? They have always been a tourist destination. There, it's a service town where, you know, people fly in for, you know, 48 hours, get drunk a bunch, lose some money, and leave. And to have something of their own, there was a pride in that was just different than anything else you could sort of describe. And it's hard to understand unless you got to see it personally, right? This is something else. This team is so great. We've been here. We know we should win. And we're excited about it, right? There is a giddiness about this. This is different than the like, this is finally something of our own. This team is awesome. Everybody knows that they're awesome, and they've kind of taken, you know, this city by storm with how good they are. We know we should win. And that's kind of the feeling I've gotten, is that they understand how great a team that they have.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, right? I think that they are excited because they're the favorites, and they expect to win another title. The Astros are exceptional. We've talked about them throughout the year. They won 107 games this season. I mean, think about that. They played 162 games. They lost 55 times. And they were in a really, really good division. The Rangers hovered around 500 as a third-place team. The Angels, who are a fourth-place team, have the best player in the sport, Mike Trout, on their roster. And there was a 97-win second-place team in the American League West. There's not another division in baseball that can say that. 97 wins would have won just about every other division in the sport, including the NL East, where the Nationals play. But you've got the heavy favorite, the Astros, who were supposed to be here, and the underdog Nationals, who weren't supposed to be here. I do love all the writing that's coming out right now on the Nationals and various publications, and whether it's The Athletic, who I write for, The Washington Post. There's been a lot of great stories authored about this clubhouse and the construction of this roster. And I don't know if this is a chicken or the egg thing, where we kind of focus all of a sudden on after the team wins, like what the roster looks like or what the clubhouse is, or if the reason the team won is because of the chemistry. I happen to think Brian Dozier's right. I talked to him about this recently, and he said that chemistry does not come from winning, basically, that winning comes from chemistry. I don't know. I think if you're super talented, you probably win, and then you start hanging out a little more and having fun and liking each other. But what I do know is this group has been so fun all year, Danny, from the Baby Shark theme song to the Latin music that is played and they dance to, and the twerking in the dugout and the home runs, guys riding each other's back like jockeys on horses after they hit a ball out of the park. We've never seen a Nats team have this much fun, and it is only fitting that this group, having the good time that they have, has played deeper into the season than any in history.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's always hard to quantify, right? Where it's all business and then you win, or it's all fun and then you win. And there's always the right mix. It also helps to have great pitching. It also helps to be healthy for 100-plus games, as they mostly have been, right? It's also, you know, when everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction, I think that's what matters. I mean, there have been teams where the guys hate each other's guts. I mean, think of the 86 Mets that won the World Series, and they all don't speak to each other after the season ends. And there have been teams that, you know, get along great that, you know, are home watching right now. But you're right. It's a little bit chicken or the egg, that kind of thing. But, you know, I wonder if they're, and I remember this, Grant, thinking about this. Remember coming out of spring training? We're there. Then the Junkies go and Chad goes. You couldn't help but observe how together and fun and interesting, and the clubhouse dynamic just jumped off the page at you. It wasn't as if it was bad in years past. I mean, there were years where it ended up going terribly. I mean, think of the end of Matt Williams's reign, Jason Worth ripping lineups off the wall. Think of the Jonathan Papelbon incident against Bryce Harper. Just think about some of the ways that it's gone, right? It's gone bad. And again, these weren't bad clubhouses by nature over the course of the years, but you couldn't help but notice how much fun these guys were having and how together they were and just how the atmosphere was great. Well, nobody wanted to hear that when they were 19 and 31. No one wanted to hear that when they were getting their butts kicked and couldn't run the bases and couldn't field the ball and Anibal Sanchez was 0-6. And no one wanted to hear that. Yeah, when they were getting the tar kicked out of them. But something about that never wavered. And I think that's a huge part of what allowed them to sort of stay with it. And I think a lot of teams, and I think of, you know, previous Nationals teams, for example, they got off to a terrible start the year. Now all the years kind of blend together, but it was the year where they're kind of blink trying to be the closer and let's see what happens. They finished 7-13 or in the middle of a month were 7-13 early on in the season. Kind of never recovered, never really got to play the kind of baseball they thought they were going to play. Not necessarily say that was bad chemistry then, but because this one was so good, that allowed them to get through this unbelievably terrible stretch where they had the same number of losses as the Detroit Tigers through 50 games, who go on to lose 115 ball games this year, and then they bounce back and now they're here.
They are going to represent D.C. in the World Series, and they've got a crack at the best team in the American League. They beat the best team in the National League on their way already in the Dodgers. They beat a team that is known as being one of the toughest outs in the postseason when they get into October baseball every year in the Cardinals, one of the toughest teams to drive a stake through. We saw that firsthand in the nation's capital back in 2012. And of course, they won a wild card game against kind of the chosen club in September, the team that couldn't lose, the hottest team in baseball coming into the playoffs other than the Nationals, that everyone said, oh, you may not want to play this team. They've figured it all out. Well, after eight innings, trailing by two runs against the Brewers, the Nationals had just come all the way back thanks to Juan Soto, and they put Milwaukee away with maybe the best closer in baseball on the mound, trying to protect the lead, and it didn't matter. Let's do this next. Just yesterday, for the first time after this six-day layoff, the Nationals had their media day and their workouts, and Davey Martinez addressed some of the burning questions on his roster. What is he going to do with the rotation? Howie Kendrick is looking to play some DH in the first couple games of this series, which means second base is available for either Dozier or Cabrera. Let's start to answer some of the roster questions for Davey next here on Grant and Danny. We will take your calls throughout the show at 800-636-1067. We are live from Houston, day one of World Series action on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And win the game, then so be it. But there's seven games, so we got to be very careful of how we do things.
That was Davey Martinez yesterday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We are live from Houston, getting ready for game one of the World Series, presented by your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. You can lease a 320i xDrive sedan for under $400 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. Davey Martinez is willing, it sounds like, to use a starting pitcher in a relief pitching role in this series. Remember, the Nats didn't want to do that in the league championship series. They said that going in. They did use Corbin for one batter, and they effectively ruled that as a throw day and not really an issue, or that they had ramped him up enough that they burned any type of length from his start based on that one batter LCS in Game 2 in St. Louis. He ended up closing the series down with 10 strikeouts and 4 innings and pitching 5 innings back home in Game 4 against the Cardinals. I'm not surprised to hear that for this reason. I know what the logic says, Danny. In a 7-game series, you shouldn't throw your starters out of the bullpen because you need them to make their starts. This is the end of the road. This is the grand finale. There is no next series. There is no worrying about their arms. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, if everyone's grabbing at their arm at the end of this thing because they need a month off, that's okay because they've got a few of them.
Yeah, that's fine by me. I mean, this is basically, you don't want to do it in the NLCS because then it means that, you know, you're risking not having a guy for the World Series. You're risking not having a guy for the rest of that series, right? So in order to do what you're talking about, you've got to be smart. You've got to be judicious about it. But at the same time, you also kind of have to recognize it. I always say this, and I think Davey Martinez has done a great job of this throughout the postseason. This is tournament baseball where you have to win today in order to get to a tomorrow, right? You have to figure out what you're going to do today. And then once you assess your options tomorrow, we'll figure it out. Who's available today? Show of hands, right? Can you go 2 innings today? Can you go 1 today? Can you go 3 straight days? You just have to do that sort of stuff. You don't want to do it in June. You don't want to do it in July. You don't want to do it back in spring training. But here and now, absolutely. There are 3 games in 3 days at Nationals Park. This is going to be as all hands on deck as possible because, quite simply, you've got a limited number of guys you can trust. Houston doesn't have that problem. The Nationals do, and they've overcome it to get here.
The Nationals yesterday made the announcement formal that Max Scherzer will start Game 1 and Steven Strasburg will get the ball in Game 2 here in Houston. So that's tonight, Max. Tomorrow, Stras. And there was no surprise to that at all. Now, teams don't really go beyond, generally, a couple of games at a time in naming their starters in the playoffs as it is. I suppose Dave Martinez or A.J. Hinch could have come out and said, here's our plan for the entire 7 games. There's no reason to do that. Think NFL coaches. You basically divulge the injury information you have to. You give up the intel on your team that is necessary and necessitated and nothing beyond that. So it's Scherzer tonight and it's Strasburg tomorrow. What Martinez said is he's not ready to name Patrick Corbin as Game 3 starter yet because he doesn't know if he'll use him in relief in one of these 2 games. My take on that is, I think you only see Corbin pitching out of the bullpen tonight or tomorrow in this World Series if Scherzer or Strasburg can't give you length. And that means they get knocked out early, which is somewhat impossible to predict, and it's certainly unlikely. But we've seen it in this series. You go back to the league championship series, the Yankees pulled their starter, who's very good, James Paxton, in the 3rd inning in a huge spot against the Astros because he'd kind of come apart at the seams, and there was traffic all over the base paths. Now, they have a bullpen that's exceptional.
Yes.
And in fact, that might be the strength of their team, more so than even Paxton, who's got great stuff. So my assessment on that would be that Davey Martinez would never pull Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg to go to his bullpen because he's going to middle relievers who aren't nearly as good as those guys. But if something were to happen where Scherzer can't get out of, say, the third or the fourth inning, or Strasburg tomorrow, same thing. First, you're probably losing. Second, Corbin then may have to throw in long relief in that game, and then you have to push him back in this series. Now, depending on how many pitches Scherzer or Strasburg threw, they could come back sooner, perhaps. But that's the only reason they haven't named a Game 3 starter. It could be Anibal Sanchez if they need Patrick Corbin starting on Friday at Nats Park. But you got Scherzer tonight against Gerrit Cole. This is a guy who's led the league in wins four times. Scherzer has led the league in win percentage, in starts multiple times, in complete games three times, in innings pitched twice. He's led the league in strikeouts three straight years before this year, and it would have been four straight if he didn't get hurt. He's led the league in batters faced twice, and in whip four times, and in strikeouts per nine three times, and in strikeout to walk ratio four times. He's been an all-star every single year since 2012, and a three-time Cy Young Award winner. Probably would have been a four-timer if
had
not
a great
for
chance
the injury.
At it, yeah.
This is a Hall of Famer. This is one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and very fittingly, Danny, the first game in the history of the Nationals in the World Series, Mad Max is going to throw that first pitch tonight.
One of the great free agent signings in any sport of all time. You can add that in there. The best signing in Nationals history, certainly. Maybe not their most important, quote-unquote, because Jason Worth got this whole thing started, but I'll put Max Scherzer over him, please and thank you. The idea that it could go to somebody else, I mean, the idea maybe years ago was that you would have Steven Strasburg do it as the homegrown guy, the you know your own ace, but you've got co-aces at this point, and you know with all due respect to Stras, I'll defer to this, as you said, future Hall of Famer, this superstar, this guy that, when he's right, is as good as anybody that's ever pitched in this game. And nobody I'd rather have for the Nationals on the bump this evening, opposing a guy that right now is throwing the ball better than anybody on the planet, and Gerrit Cole. I did a radio hit for a station in Raleigh, North Carolina this morning, and you know they were talking about Scherzer versus Gerrit Cole, who's better. And I said, well, there's no question Max Scherzer's had the better career, the better last 4 years, 5 years, whatever sample you want to pick, except for this season. Gerrit Cole has unlocked something. Houston, credit to them, they saw it when he was in Pittsburgh, just kind of a hard thrower that, you know, was trying to get ground ball outs and striking people out at a pretty good clip, but wasn't special. He became special when he got to Houston. They unlocked what skill set he really had. He's turned into the superstar dominant ace entering a free agency walk year, by the way. Please begin that bidding.
It's pretty
an outrageous
amazing,
amount
though,
of money.
It's, by the way, the Nats were all over Gerrit Cole in the past. They wanted him a couple different times. They almost got him, according to some reports. And wouldn't that have been nice?
That'd have been fun.
Knowing what we know now. You wouldn't have Patrick Corbin. But I'll take the best pitcher on the planet at this moment in Gerrit Cole. But it seems like all of their arms benefit from arriving in Houston because of their analytical approach. I mean, they really, I don't want to say they completely deconstruct and rebuild pitchers, but they change philosophies and paradigms. What you'll see from the Astros in this series is, and maybe it's not as stark a difference than what you're used to around baseball anymore because everyone's copying them. Two or three years ago, they were the only team doing this. Basically, they tabled certain pitches and they just threw breaking balls, right? They threw top of the strike zone fastballs. Like it used to be, we'd say low and as far away as possible, essentially, for the fastball. Well, what the Astros, as an organization, kind of found out is, no, the top of the strike zone is where hitters are most susceptible. So they live, you know, up around the letters with a fastball. It's very hard to lay off that pitch, and it's even harder to barrel it and square it up for any kind of exit velocity and launch angle. And they're smarter than most other organizations.
Yeah, you can't do that when you throw 86. You can do it when you throw 100, though, and that's what Gerrit Cole does. You can live right up there, and you can shoot BBs at people at that distance. You get a lot of swings and misses and a lot of pop-ups.
Scherzer, game one. Strasburg, game two. More on that as we continue on Grant and Danny. Next, the big decision from a lineup standpoint for Davey Martinez boils down to DH and second base. It sounds like second baseman Howie Kendrick is going to DH instead of playing in the field. So do you want the sure glove in Brian Dozier, or do you want the left-handed bat against right-handed pitchers who had a great September and has had a quiet playoffs as Drubal Cabrera? What about Matt Adams? How does he figure into this? Does Ryan Zimmerman have to play in every game? We'll discuss next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, live from Houston on World Series Game 1 Day on 106.7 The Nats.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And, you know, we all pull for each other.
In Houston, getting ready for the World Series. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to 106.7 The Fan. We're presented by Washington's DC BMW Center. Lease a 320i X-Drive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, DC BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. That was Steven Strasburg on the way in on G&D. He'll start in Game 2. Who's going to be at second base behind him is a big question, though. As far as the lineup goes, it's an asset when you're a National League ball club to be in the American League Park and to add a DH if you've got a bench where you've got some valuable offensive commodities that don't normally play.
And the Nationals do.
They in spades, man. You got Matt Adams, who's got big-time power from the left side, who's basically been relegated to not getting to play in the postseason. Brian Dozier, who's got thump from the right side and can play defense at second base as well. A longtime starter in this league who's hit a ton of home runs, has 6 at-bats in these playoffs. They haven't really been able to tap into Asdrubal Cabrera since the first couple games of the division series as much as they'd like. That could change. They have a bench that rivals probably any American League bench, which should benefit them in these two games offensively in Houston. Davey Martinez didn't go into the specifics of his lineup yesterday, didn't want to do that. But he did make it seem like Howie Kendrick is going to be his DH. First, let's start with that, Danny. I think that's a good decision. It has nothing to do with really the defensive miscues. I know that if you are very casually watching the Nats in these playoff games, you've seen Howie Kendrick make a bunch of defensive errors.
Sure.
Specifically in the Dodgers series with his miscues. And you say, oh, you got to get him out of the lineup as a defender. He's a better defensive player than that. I think Dozier's better than him. I think Cabrera's probably comparable. Maybe has a little bit more ability at second base. But Howie Kendrick's got to play, and so this is a gift now to have him off of his feet at 36 years old and not getting that wear and tear. To me, it's a no-brainer to DH him and get one of those other guys at second.
And some guys can't do this, by the way. Sometimes some guys need to just have the action of being in the field and, you know, then to come off the field and kind of keep themselves in rhythm. Howie's a professional hitter. That guy can DH. I have full confidence in that. This really, to me, is... You're right. They're both slight defensive upgrades, talking about the second base spot when you look at Dozier and Cabrera. Neither's going to set the world on fire. Neither's about to win a Gold Glove this year, although, you know, Dozier's been that caliber in the past. Maybe doesn't have the range that he once did. But this, to me, is about every bit as – it's really about the offensive upgrade that you get, less so about maybe the who's in there more for defense. Whose bat do you want in the lineup more? Right at this point, I'd probably default to Cabrera, but it's not as if he tore the world up before he, you know, was ultimately replaced by Kendrick or really replaced by Zimmerman at first base, because Zim was swinging the hot bat that kicked Kendrick over to second base, who was in no danger of being taken out. I kind of generally default Cabrera because I feel like he's more likely to put the ball in play against Astros pitching, and maybe that's the big spot where he just, you know, gets you a sack fly or you know, nudges a ground ball through. But I can be talked certainly into either. And if one guy's got good numbers against a Verlander or against a Gerrit Cole relative, obviously no one's got great numbers against those guys, it can be Dozier to me. I would default Cabrera, but I know you probably would go Dozier.
Well, I think I'm going matchups here, to be honest with you. I looked up the matchups on the flight yesterday because I had nothing better to do. I was sitting next to a lady who didn't like me very much.
Okay.
I made some conversation with her when I sat down, and that really bothered her, which is fine. And so I decided I would just study some matchups, pull a Davey Martinez, and get into the lefty-righty splits of some of the guys in the World Series. But what I found was Asdrubal Cabrera has terrible career numbers against Gerrit Cole. He has much better numbers against Justin Verlander. In fact, Asdrubal Cabrera has played really, really well against Justin Verlander in his career. So I would go maybe Dozier game one, Cabrera game two. My guess is Davey's not going to overthink it and necessarily go into like a 10 or 20 at bat sample. He'll just pick a guy that he's got a feel for, and it'll probably be Cabrera who hit over 300 with the Nationals and drove in 40 runs in 38 games. And he'll get both starts. But I think I would probably go Dozier in game one. I think he's like 1-for-2 in his career off Gerrit Cole. And then against Verlander, I think he's something like 6-for-30 or whatever it is. Whereas, contrarily, Cabrera's got better numbers there. But you're upgrading your defense with those guys.
And
here's the other question. If you think you're going to play two pitchers duel low-scoring type ball games in Houston, should you just go with Dozier by default at that point? He will get two more balls than Cabrera. He will be a surer fielder and defensive player than Cabrera. You could say, yes, you got to do that. Or you say, well, I still throw him in the late innings. I don't have a defensive replacement if I start him. But if you really believe, if you're Davey Martinez, as you map this game out with Mike Rizzo, these are 2-1, 3-2 kind of games, maybe you just decide, you know what? It's not as important for us to get a 1-for-4 or a 2-for-5, let's say, with a couple singles out of Asdrubal Cabrera. Let's just make sure we field everything behind Scherzer and Strasburg and every ground ball's an out.
Something to that. And also, you have the corollary of who's most likely to pop one. I think that's what this series is going to come down to, really, especially the first couple games. Who's most likely to jump yard? That solo homer or that two-run homer, that's the offense for the day.
So you're going the opposite with runs at a premium. Let's get a guy who might be able to run into a run.
Well, but that's part of it. But part B is the best defender of the two, Dozier. The guy most likely to pop one, probably Dozier. So maybe that's your answer right there, right? The 1-for-5
boxes in left look appetizing.
Yeah, the 1-for-5 with a solo homer and all the plays made behind is a win for that position on the day. So maybe that's the rationale. But to me, you don't lose a ton with Cabrera at second. Dozier's a better second baseman, but it's not as if Cabrera's a butcher out there. I think he would handle himself just fine, especially with all the shifts. That's part one. And part two, I'm thinking of these very specific scenario. Runner on third base, one out. Who's most likely to get that run in? To me, it's Cabrera over Dozier. But who's most likely to hit that solo homer? Who's most likely to knock one out of the yard? Probably Dozier. So it all kind of depends on what you want. Because you think of teams as they approach Max Scherzer, you're going, we're probably not going to string together 3, 4, 5 hits in an inning for a big crooked number. It's maybe he loses command for 1 second, walks a guy, then we pop our 2-run homer, like the Milwaukee Brewers did to start the game, 8 pitches in and they were up 2-0. That's your offense against Scherzer. You got to take a similar approach with Cole. So maybe that's the answer to that one, GP, is who's most likely just to run into one? Hawk one of those high fastballs.
So I look at the second base position as, I think Martinez is going to, and it sounds like you're going to. It's the one area where I don't know day in and day out what my plan is. I think in center field, Victor Robles is your guy, not Michael Taylor. He's healthy. He had a great division series. Michael Taylor's your speed and your defense guy whenever you need him. From a catching standpoint, both will play, but you know when each will play. Corbin works with Yan Gomes.
Yes.
Strasburg works with Suzuki, very likely. Scherzer works with Suzuki. So you're going to see more Kurt, I would imagine, or Kirk, as the case were, in this series, come Thursday night anyway. But if you're curious, looking up the numbers here, Cabrera has played in 5 games, and Dozier's played in 7 because of the defensive replacement.
Right, right.
Cabrera's actually 1-for-9 at the plate, whereas Dozier's 0-for-6. So they're a combined 1-for-15. So maybe it's 6 and 1, half dozen in the other. Howie Kendrick, who you're keeping in the lineup as a DH, has obviously been one of the guys carrying this team, hitting .290 in these playoffs with 11 hits. Only Trey Turner and Anthony Rendon have more base hits than Howie Kendrick. There was a story written in the Post by Dave Scheinen, who's wonderful. He's maybe my favorite baseball writer in the entire country. He wrote about the Astros being the most analytical team in the sport, and the Nationals being the old guard scouting team. And everyone wants to build this series that way. And I think that that's fair. But there were a couple of comments in that story I don't quite agree with. Let's get into that next. The idea that the Astros do everything with the numbers and the Nats do everything with their eyeballs. It's going to be very much a juxtaposition from a front office standpoint in this World Series. You're listening to G&D on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just want our club to go out there and have...
Gerrit Cole is now 19-0 in his last 25 starts. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday. The first three pitchers to be used in each of the games to start this series for these teams are all $30 million a year guys. Think about that. 2019 strikeout leaders, regular season and postseason. Gerrit Cole is 1, 358. Justin Verlander is 2, 329. Steven Strasburg is 3, 284. Max Scherzer is 4, 270. Patrick Corbin is 5, 264. All five of those guys in the World Series likely to start within the first three games. Not coincidental. This is a year where we have trended back toward dominant starting pitching. Gerrit Cole has a 0.40 ERA in the playoffs.
That's a staggering number. Those money figures are staggering. It also tells you where value is. It also tells you where teams, smart ones like the Nationals, smart ones like the Astros, and I don't know that anybody's smarter than the Astros, to be honest with you, where they value spending their money. You can get away with what, and you're forced to make sure you have blank as a premium. And they've decided starting pitching. Other organizations have gone bullpen. You think of the Yankees, right? Their bullpen was the thing. They went and got a bunch of guys to pitch. The Dellin Betances of the world. They decided we're going to have a lights out back end, middle part. Every part of our bullpen is going to be great. More bullpen innings are used in the World Series and the playoffs than any other time. We'll get to the playoffs, and that's how we'll do it. Well, it ended up falling a little short to the buzzsaw that is the Astros. They've decided, as have the Nationals, that the best way to be good consistently is to have a huge allocation of our resources, our limited funds, towards starting pitching. And that's the way to be perennially good.
Yeah, the Nats did what the Astros did. And the Nats did it first, actually. Strengthen the strength and bolster the place where you're already really good. The Nats had Strasburg to go along with Scherzer. And they went and they spent $140 million on Patrick Corbin. The Astros had Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. And they said, you know what? This is nice. But you know what would be better as in a Game 3 of a division or an LCS when we can line it up how we want to? If Zach Greinke, who's a Cy Young candidate in the National League, who goes 7 innings, 2 hits every time he takes on the Nationals, was our number 3 starter. Cole is actually, Danny, the player version of the Nationals as a team. Here's what I mean by that. Everybody references May 24th as the moment where the Nationals stopped being beatable.
Yeah, that's the date etched in stone, right?
Right. May 23rd is the date in Gerrit Cole's season where he stopped being able to be hit. Literally the day before the Nats went on their joyride, they hopped on the little magical carpet and flew through the mountains and ended up in the World Series. Gerrit Cole, since May 23rd, 19-0. A 1.59 ERA, 166 batting average against, a 0.8 whip, 13.7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and a 23-2 Astros record in his 25 starts. 23-2 since May 23rd.
He's been as close to automatic as there is in the sport.
We haven't seen anything like this in this era. This is 1968 Bob Gibson dead ball baseball stuff. He gets the start tonight. Real quick, I wanted to point something out about a Dave Shinen piece in the Post, and hopefully we'll catch up with him during this World Series. And just an awesome baseball writer. He wrote it, this idea, and a lot of people are talking about this. The Astros wrote the book on analytics in baseball a few years ago. And a lot of teams have tried to catch up to them. And teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Braves, probably more so than anybody else, now emphasize analytics as much as Houston does and have caught them. The Rays are right there. The Brewers are trying to gain ground as well. But there's a piece of Shinen's story, and the whole point is the juxtaposition between the Astros and the Nats. The Nats, as an example, sent human beings, advanced scouts, to watch the Astros and the Yankees play. The Astros don't have advanced scouts that do that. They don't even send human beings to watch their next opponent. Everything they do is off of video. I mean, it's a really stark contrast between the two organizations. There's one comment in the piece, though, where Shinen is kind of editorializing, and he says, the Astros are the number one team in analytics in the sport, and the Nationals are probably 30th. And that is really extreme, and I would even say borderline not true. Not to knock Dave Shinen, it's his opinion, but you know, if you look at, there was a piece written in The Athletic by Eno Saris, and this is not gospel, but I think this shows about maybe how much you care about analytics. How many people are on research and development staff, what is called analysts, right? How many people have numbers analysts in their front office? So the Yankees have 20, the Astros have 15, the Dodgers and Braves have 20 and 15 as well. The Nationals have an 8-person R&D staff, research and development. There are teams like the Mets who have 2 or 3 people doing this. The White Sox have 2 people in their analyst department. The Athletics have 3. The Rockies have 4. A lot of the real bad teams in baseball are very low down on this list. And the
it's
best
almost
teams,
like it's a random coincidence.
Right. But my point is, to say that the Nats are in the bottom of baseball and analytics, I don't think is fair. I would say they are probably in the middle. Like, if there are tiers, they're upper middle class in this regard.
I would agree with that. And here's the quick caveat. You think of the Astros, who have planted a flag in the ground and say, this is what we're following, the computer models, the smart guys, and everything else. For the Nationals, I don't know who the 8 guys are. You know what I mean? They exist. They're coming to the office every day. They're doing what they're doing, but they keep it behind closed doors. They're lined up behind the Rizzos and the Scalabas and the Johnny DePuglias and all the different guys that Rizzo loves to point out, the scouts, because that's still where your bread is buttered. Because you could plug in all the numbers you want, it still helps to have Trey Turner. You know what I mean? Like, you need to find players who can then play the way you want them to play using all your math. So I have no problem with blending the approach, and I've always argued that's what's supposed to happen. And the Nationals have done that very, very well for a guy that's as old school a scouting bulldog as Mike Rizzo is, the guy that drove 100 hours to see some 160-pound high school kid in Iowa and decide whether he should be a 20th or a 28th round pick. That's the guy that cut his teeth that way.
Right.
To embrace some of the math, I think, is actually something that we underrate a little bit. But to say that they're 30th, I would disagree with Dave on that.
Yeah, it's just that it's not their bread and butter. It's not what they major in. Maybe they minor in it. But there are a lot of guys. I mentioned a couple of them on the show that I've met around the ballpark a bunch now. Sam Andre Cohen and Mike DiBartolo, among others. It's an 8-person staff. Mm-hmm. And those guys sit in the room with Mike Rizzo when he watches every game in his suite. I've sat in a game and watched a game with Mike and those guys before, and he'll spin around constantly. What was the catch percentage on that play? You know, ball falls in left center, and he'll say, how often does the left fielder get to that ball? Little things that they do that a lot of organizations, that they don't have people touching those buttons and doing those things. When they're making the decision to bring in Anibal Sanchez, that's not just an eyeball thing. There's a lot of numbers that are going into that they are crunching. And I hope that those guys get some credit in this series, because it's going to be billed as basically the dinosaurs against the new school.
And I don't think that's fair.
And it's just not quite 100% accurate. But there is certainly something to be said that on a binary scale, the Nats are about scouting and the Astros are about numbers.
I think that's, it's if you have to do a one sentence in an elevator, that's what you would say.
Dave Jagler is going to be calling tonight's World Series game with Charlie Slows. He'll join us next right here on Grant and Danny, live from Houston, presented by your Washington, D.C. BMW Center. You can lease a 320i xDrive sedan for $399 a month at your Washington, D.C. BMW Center, or visit BMW Centers for other exceptional lease and finance offers. Looking forward to talking to Jags next on 106.7 The Nats.
There is no offseason, not at St. James anyway, the DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everyone. They offer training, instruction, and competitive leagues and teams for more than 20 sports, right? You can learn how to ice skate, and you can learn how to hit a golf ball, learn how to take proper swings, learn from a world-class soccer coach, basketball coach, anything you can think of, it's there at the St. James. Kids can also play in the Active Entertainment Center with climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, a ropes course, and a massive water park. It's the perfect place to host a birthday party. Premium Health Club offers top-of-the-line equipment, weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. In fact, every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. So much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Just visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's thestjames.com. The St. James, welcome to your best.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.